Welcome to the Spy Girls podcast, the self-publishing podcast for authors. You're in the right place for the best writing, marketing, and publishing advice, plus interviews with industry experts and best-selling authors. I'm Cheryl Phipps.
I'm Shara Barrett.
I'm Wendy Valla.
And I'm Trudy J. And welcome to the Spy Girls podcast.
Welcome.
Hello. Welcome.
And this week, yes, this week we have a very special guest. We've got Mark Dawson on the show with us.
Hello. Again.
Welcome back.
Hi. Hello.
Hey. Now, for anyone who
doesn't, while.
Yes. For anyone who doesn't know who Mark is, Wendy's going to give us a quick bio, but I do have to say you'd have to be living under a rock.
I was going to say, where have you been?
But anyway,
we met Mark many years ago, Cheryl and I, in Florida. When we interviewed him there, and we were just having a chat about how sick we were, and Mark took over the whole interview. So
we're almost the same again, you know.
So Mark Dawson is an award-nominated USA Today bestseller with more than 40 books published and millions of copies downloaded in multiple countries and languages. As well as writing, he also teaches other authors how to self-publish through the Self-Publishing Show podcast and his well-known courses, including Advertising for Authors and Self-Publishing Launchpad. You can find out more about these at selfpublishingformula.com. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yes. Awesome. So our topic is going to be Facebook ads and hopefully kind of the fixes and things that you could look at if maybe a Facebook ad isn't working, and some of the stats that you can kind of look at to kind of assess how they're going and what you need to be looking at. So the idea is that maybe you've already managed to get an ad up, you've managed to figure out how to put an image in and write some text, and you've got the audience sorted or whatever, and then you're sitting back and waiting for it to work and nothing's happening. You're going, oh my God, what do Crickets. I do? So what is the first thing you would do, Mark?
Well, I've been there before. When I started advertising, goodness knows, 6 years ago, maybe even 7 years ago now, I don't know why I figured out it would be a good idea to try Facebook ads, but someone persuaded me that it was. And I tried to drive traffic to a Kindle Unlimited book to try and get some page reads, and it didn't work. I couldn't get it to perform in a way that I wanted. I didn't have to track the effectiveness on both sides of the ad. So I could see what Facebook was telling me and I could see what Amazon was telling me, but I couldn't marry them up. So it was very difficult to work out whether the ad was working or not. And it was very, very difficult with KU in those days. A little easier now, but still tricky. But I kind of stopped, and then I kind of sat down and looked at what I was doing and tried to figure out a way to make it better. And I thought I'd try selling ads to sell books directly rather than trying to drive page reads. And the kind of Damascene moment for me was figuring out how to use affiliate tracking to complete the equation. So I could see Facebook would tell me how much I was spending on each click. Amazon would then tell me how many sales that ad or those clicks were generating. And once I had both sides of the equation, it was easy then to see that Facebook ads were actually working very, very well. I mean, exceptionally well. In those days, I remember because I wasn't confident in my maths, because I thought I must have got something wrong. I went to my accountant and said, I think these ads are making me a 500% return.
Wow.
What should I do? He looked at the numbers and he said, can I invest in your business, please? Preempting one of your questions, I think you might ask me, it isn't as effective as that these days. That was the kind of the golden eight, like an ATM in those days. You'd put money in. Well, not an ATM, because it's like a reverse ATM. It's just kind of spitting money out it was just generating. So that was fairly remarkable. Not as easy now. Partly, there's loads of reasons for that. Partly because some idiot made a Facebook course telling other authors how to do it.
So all on you.
Yeah, that's partly my fault. I mean, apart from anything else, it's more authors are on the platform, more advertisers generally on the platform, and it is more competitive now. So, you know, clicks that you could get for pennies in 2018 are probably going to cost you 50 or 60 pennies these days. So that does make it a lot more difficult to make those ads work, but it's definitely not impossible. I have a fairly privileged view of this because I kind of, you know, I'm involved in teaching, well, over 14,000 authors now through all of our main courses. So I see a lot of authors experimenting with Facebook ads, some doing well, others not doing well. And I see people say fairly regularly, there's always something that Facebook ads are now dead. They don't work anymore. It is just, it's bullshit, basically. They're challenging, definitely, but they absolutely do work. As long as you understand that it's going to require testing, that we always did, and that it's going to be, it's not a magic button. It's not, you know, it isn't a question of running the ads and waiting for the sales to come. It does take work, but that's fine. You know, I'm not afraid of work, and we shouldn't be. Provided you're realistic about that, then yeah, it is definitely possible to make Facebook ads work. And I was recording a video today for, we're doing a little kind of ads challenge at the moment. We've got the expedition in SPF. And the one I was doing today was about researching other people's ads. So using the Facebook ads library to see what other authors are doing. And there were some authors, if I think I found two indies who are in the top 10 at the moment in Amazon.com. And they're both running dozens of Facebook ads. So, you know, there's, if you think about what you're trying to assess whether an ad is working for somebody else, it's a good idea to see if they're selling. And if they're selling and they're running a lot of ads, it's not unreasonable to suggest that at least a component of that success is probably because they're running lots of ads. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there you go. Yeah, they do work, but it's a bit more challenging than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah. So does how you're doing your ads, has that changed dramatically over time as well? Like how long, you know, with the change in getting the reach and the costing and stuff. So is that changed as well, the way you're setting your ads up?
Not really. They're kind of the nuts and bones of, so not supposed, nuts and bolts of the ads are fairly similar. I think you need to be a bit more creative when it comes to targeting these days than used to be the case. I mean, interest targeting, so for those who don't know, it's where you tell Facebook you want to show your ad to people it knows have liked the pages of other authors. So for me, Lee Child, for example, James Patterson, David Baldacci. In the early days, there were lots and lots of interests. They have, for reasons I'm still not completely clear about, they've removed some of those interests, not all of them by any means. But one of the questions I get quite a lot, and complaints actually from authors, is that they'll be like, I can't target X. You can't target me, for example. I'm not a targetable interest on Facebook, despite having 50,000 people who like my page or something like that. But you can't target me. And it's become more, you know, those were always the easiest targeting options, but they were probably never the best. They're just the easy ones. The kind of the real juice now is in the things like lookalike audiences, running engagement campaigns and then retargeting those who engaged with that ad, running video campaigns and then retargeting people who watched the videos and things like that. So it's a little bit more technical now. And also trusting Facebook's algorithm, which, you know, sometimes can feel a bit of a crapshoot, but it's getting much, much better now. And you can tell it, look, I want to generate a lookalike audience based on my mailing list. So you take your mailing list of say 1,000 names, email addresses, feed it into Facebook. Facebook then looks at those email addresses and matches them with email addresses that it has. So it's able to maybe of that 1,000, maybe 300 it can match. It will take those 300 and it will look for commonalities in the profile and behaviors of those people, and then it will build you an audience of maybe 2 or 3 million based on people who share those traits. And that's really powerful, and you can use that as a base, and then you can start to filter that bit with other interests and things. So it's not as easy as just kind of going, right, I'm going to target Lee Child now and wait for the sales to roll in. You have to be a bit more savvy about it. But the good news is, if you're prepared to put the work in, lots of authors are not now prepared to put the work in, and so it's a little easier to get the really relevant clicks.
Yeah. Do you think it's genre specific? Like it works really well for thriller, but not for.
It's definitely there are variations. So I think some do better than others. Romance does very well. And especially in those, you know, if you've got a, that's a common theme. I mean, the romance readers, as we all know, are exceptionally voracious, and especially in things like awesome. KU, where they can, and awesome, absolutely. No, I love romance readers. I actually love romance authors, because I think, as I mentioned to someone else the other day, I follow lots of romance authors, because almost always they're ahead of everybody else. Mm. So I've learned lots of stuff from, you know, some of the people like Lucy Score, actually. Lucy, who took our course, way, way back when she was living with her husband, Tim, in, you know, and doing a job she hated. Lucy Score is now is one of the biggest authors in the world now, in terms of sales on Amazon. You just look right now, she's got a book is number 5 and number 10. And, you know, she's got nearly 100,000 reviews of her last book. Lucy, bless her, will say, you know, she credits a lot of her success with taking the Ads for Authors course. Now, obviously, that's very flattering and it's also slightly inaccurate because she's a really good writer. They both work really, really hard and they deserve everything that they've been able to achieve. But, you know, it's I learn things from her now. So, you know, she's done things with ways to build her mailing list by using things like exclusive epilogues. I've never heard of anyone doing that before. And she's got, you know, 200,000 on her list. It's a really good idea.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic idea and we learned it from her.
She's brilliant. And Lucy and Tim are both really, really great and lovely people too. So, you know, I'm chuffed for both of them.
Yeah, very
savvy. The amazing thing with Lucy is that she's really, really good with reader engagement, like her Facebook group.
She is.
She connects with people so well. I think that's awesome. And I always remember that about you, Mark, saying that you, in the early days anyway, you were always replying to every email.
I still do.
So I feel that kind of thing. I mean,
I still do. I think. Yeah, it's important because if you just think about it, I mean, it does take time. And I've kind of thought, you know, I can't really hand it off because it would feel really dishonest if someone else was writing my emails. So I can't do that. But if you think about it, you know, it takes 5 minutes to write a nice reply to someone who's taken the time to email you. But if they then tell their friend that this author they love has written back to them, maybe then they tell their friend that they heard about this author that their friend loved who wrote back to them. Before you know it, you've got like a cascade. It's impossible to quantify, but it just, you know, I think putting that kind of good stuff out, you're going to get some of it coming back again.
Yeah, 100%. I think so.
So do you use your Facebook ads to target email signups, getting people to sign up?
I do, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And that works quite well for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm fairly standard. I'll run ads to build the list all the time, maybe $10 or $20 a day, depending on what I'm doing. I don't even really monitor those. They just kind of chug away. They go in, they send them into MailChimp. MailChimp sends the book out. You know, they occasionally over time, if I've got enough data, I'll look to see whether I think they are reacting in a way that makes those ads profitable. But I think they are. Tomorrow I'm going to run, because I'm fairly big in Germany now. It's my big kind of market that's been really good to me. I'm going to start running some ads targeting our readers who might like a free novella that I've got in German for them. And then, of course, the idea is it's a prequel for the Milton series. So if they like that one, then there's 20 books they can enjoy after that.
Yeah. So have you got an email newsletter in Germany as well?
Yeah.
German.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. And don't speak a word of German, which is challenging, but you know,
I was going to say it's so hard. I've just translated this year and last year, and man, it's a struggle.
It is. You need good people. That's the bottom line is, you know, and I, actually, we've got, speak to Bella Andre, who I'm sure you know, and Bella is coming. She's going to be speaking, we think, at our conference in June. And she's doing really well with translation. Germany, I've nailed Germany. I'm good at that. But she's doing really well in France, Italy, and Spain, which I have struggled with. So I'm going to be looking at having another go at that market. But I'll speak to Bella and see what, again, listen to the romance authors. I'll see what Bella's doing and I'll just copy that.
And she's another person who is awesome in terms of her connection with people. Like, yeah. That's another, like, just think of all these big names. I honestly think that's one of the
I think generally, I think that's a thing in the community. There are some people I might not like hanging out with quite as much, but generally, and like 99% of people are lovely. And you know, it's lovely to go to conferences and just hang out with other writers who get what you do.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
I don't think somebody listening to this, just a question that I have as a listener. For the German ads, Mark, do you translate them or are they in English?
No, you've definitely got to translate them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So that's the, if you're thinking about getting into translations, when you find a translator, you should probably negotiate a rate for just stuff that you won't even anticipate. So, for example, so there's the ad itself, copy, headline, all of that kind of stuff. You probably also, if you're going to do a lead generation ad, you need text on the actual lead form. Mm-hmm. That needs to be in German. Then there's the mailing list. That's all got to be in German. So there's more than you think. And I've been caught at a number of times by, you know, even things like titles. I kind of get a book translated, then I realize that the title needs to change. Mm. I'm like, shit, I don't speak German. What am I going to do? So you have to kind of get the advice of the translator as to what would be a good title for that book now.
Yeah. And reviews, I suppose, is another thing. You need a few of those translated.
You could, well, actually, Amazon, we're translating them, the reviews that you're seeing. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of plugins there that will translate web pages really quickly. So, I mean, both Chrome and Safari have native translation that will just turn into English, which, you know, makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, okay. For sure. Can I just ask, when you're doing ads, just heading back to Facebook ads, do you use the book cover image always?
No, actually, rarely. I usually have an abstract image. Okay. But that, again, there is no one, I wouldn't recommend that for everyone. I wouldn't even recommend that for everyone in my genre. I think it is a question of testing and just seeing what works for you. Mm. You know, if you look at some, it's worth looking on the Facebook Ads Library and seeing what other authors are doing. So I've done a bit of that today just because I'm preparing for some stuff I'm teaching. And none of them used, they're all romance. Well, I think yes, they were all romance that I was looking at, and none of them used the cover. It was all kind of,
because that's kind of the opposite of what I've seen previously in romance. Mm. So is that maybe just a developing thing where they're
possibly, yeah, and it may only be those ones I just randomly picked five people who weren't doing covers. But it's, I would recommend testing both, run a split test and see which one does better, and then do more of that one.
Okay. That's interesting. So let's maybe talk through some of the other things that if your Facebook, let's get right back to the actual topic instead of so if you've got a Facebook ad and it's not working, so first of all, how do you tell it's not working? Can we still use affiliate links via Amazon on the ads?
You can. I mean, the thing that those, it's always been against the terms of service. So everyone needs to know that in terms of the affiliate terms of service. So, and it's not actually necessary anymore because Amazon has Amazon Attribution now, which has been in beta for about 3 years. I've known about it, but they've only recently rolled it out. So what that does is it gives you a tracking link that will then provide you with sales data, which is all I wanted. I didn't care about the affiliate income you can make. I would very happily have gone like, I don't want the Amazon take. I'm not interested. I just want the data. And so that there is a way to do that now without having to do an affiliate link, which is very helpful. So, if the ad's not working, it's very easy to get kind of bogged down with all of the metrics that Facebook provides, and kind of think, well, my cost per click is a little bit high. My
click through rate. So what is my cost per click? Like, if I'm looking at
There isn't really. I can't give you an answer for that because it varies from author to author, genre to genre, country to country. So I would say if you start getting above in any country, if you start getting above $1 a click, then that's almost certainly going to be making you a loss, unless your ads convert at like an insane rate. That's almost certainly going to make you a loss. Mm. The most important metric is, are you making money? Mm. Right? That is in both Amazon ads and Facebook ads. You need to know whether the ad is making you money or not. And it doesn't just mean, another mistake people make is they'll look at the one book they're advertising and think, well, this, I made, you know, $3.79 every time I sell this book. And this ad, or the number of clicks I needed, I had to have to sell one of those books, would cost me $5. That sounds very much like, on the face of it, you just lost $1.30. But you probably, if you've got more books, you probably haven't. So read through is one of the most, is probably the most important number you need to understand. And by that, I mean, think of yourself as a reader. And, you know, as a reader for me, if I see a series that I like and I read the first one, I'll read all of them. So you need to work out on average, how many books does your kind of typical reader sent to the first book by way of an ad then go on to consume? And if it's costing you $5 to make a sale of that first book, but you've got a 20 deep series like me, and you think your read-through on average is about $10 to $15, you've probably made $5 to $10 rather than lost $139. So it would be crazy to switch that ad off because it's almost certainly profitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what you've got to remember. And there's lots of ways out there to calculate your read through. I know there's mm-hmm. a calculator in your ads, and there's other people who have them around the place. So that's an important yep. metric, I guess, is the point. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, we in the Facebook course, well, actually in the ad sources course, so this is applicable to all ads. It's not just Facebook. Mm. There's a spreadsheet that we use that kind of gives a very rough idea yeah. of what that might be. And also, it's worth noting, if you're in KU, you can effectively run that twice because you've got your ad is serving to two distinct audiences. So you're not just looking at sales, you're also looking at reads,
yeah.
Which is probably going to be 40%. Or more of your revenue, depending on what genre you're in.
Mm. Can I ask a silly question? Are you still in KU?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Yeah, I've been in and out twice. I think I was in for KU one, and then people were getting bonuses, and I wasn't, so I got a bit petulant and left. Threw my toys at the firm and left. Then I saw authors who I knew. I was kind of similar authors to me were absolutely crushing it in KU two. So I went back again. And I think I put 5 books in to start with, thinking I'll just test it, and they immediately went nuts. It's probably 3 years ago now, so I went all in again very quickly. For me that's fine. I mean, there's all kinds of things when it comes to being exclusive or wide. That is a very personal decision, author to author. It depends on politics, ethics, your views on monopolies, whether they're good things or bad things. It's there's no right answer. But I look at everything, what's going to make me the most money, and that for me that has. But I love the other stores. I know people who work for Apple and Kobo and Google, and I think they're all great. But for me personally, I do a little bit better in Amazon.
So if you were targeting Facebook ads, would you do them to each store?
Yes. Definitely. Okay. Yeah.
Not you wouldn't bundle them up.
Well, you kind of have to, because you need a destination link at the end of the ad. So unless you're sending it to a landing page which has those links there, which I wouldn't really recommend, not usually anyway. You probably want an ad that's sending them directly to an Apple, a geographically sensitive link that will then send them to the right store, rather than sending them to somewhere where they've got to do something else.
Yeah.
Is it very different when you're doing ads when you're in KU versus wide? Are there different kind of quite different strategies?
Not really. The only difference is that KU is a very big store in itself. It's probably, at least it used to be, I don't know whether this is true or not, it was bigger than all of the other stores combined. So Amazon and KU would be two very, very big stores. So it does make ads a little bit easier. If you're sending it to Amazon and you effectively, that click then serves two different big audiences, it is easier to convert them. But on the other hand, the counter to that is not that many authors will be doing Facebook ads to Apple or to Kobo. And things like on Kobo, for example, there's no 70% limit at $9.99. You could have I used to have a mega box set of all of the Milton books that cost $25. And Kobo would give me 70% of that, which was, was really generous. And you can't do that on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So you suddenly have a huge margin to play with that you don't have anywhere else. So, there are idiosyncrasies for all of the stores. But ads will work. Facebook ads will work for all of them, mm-hmm. and audio as well.
Yeah. Do you send your ads to full price books, or do you, lower the price for specifically for
me? No, I never lower the price. So apart from say a free incentive to join the mailing list, that's not going to cost anything. I would never, almost never. Now and again, maybe if I know I've got like a Kindle Daily deal and the book's been dropped to 99 and I'm getting 70% on that, then I might run some ads, because that's that's still a pretty generous slice, and also it's going to increase the ranking, which will probably lengthen the tail a little bit, so I might push it a little bit harder. But generally for ads I run, I only really run ads to first in series or last in series. And I wouldn't reduce that. The first in series is already reasonably reasonably cost effective, slash cheap. I'm not gonna cut that any more than it already is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you say last in series, what's the theory behind that? You've got another series to go to, or?
No, I'll serve those to people I know have read books, previous books in the series. So that it's a very warm audience. I know they love the Milton books, for example. So they're going to be very reactive to the ad. They may not have known there's a new book out. They might have got to it eventually, but perhaps not for some time.
Right.
So those ads will go to an audience based on my mailing list, or on people who've interacted with my page, or just any kind of signals I can detect that indicate to me that they are likely to be fans of my stuff. So I will send them notification of the new book.
Is that your version of ads for a launch, or is that just, do you do different
ads? Yes. If I was, launching for the last book in a long existing series is pretty easy, because I know I've been doing it for 5-6 years. It doesn't really change. It's just, as I've just described, it's just like that. Mm-hmm. If I was going to have a new series with new characters, a fresh trilogy, for example, it would be a bit different. I'd certainly cast a wider net. It definitely wouldn't just be my fans. I'd be looking at others in the genre that might be up for it.
Mm-hmm.
We've done some of that with James, and I have a little imprint that we publish maybe 4 or 5 other authors, and they won't all be thrillers. There's sci-fi, we've got a romance coming up, and when we launch those, we would have a fairly comprehensive strategy that would encompass lots of different ways to reach readers, and it wouldn't just be people I know would be interested in the book. I'd be more speculative for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. That's interesting.
Can I ask you about text? What sort of copy do you put on your ads?
I usually go short. So just I will often try to make sure it doesn't actually need to, it fits without anyone clicking the more button to expand it. Not always, but usually at the moment I have. But then looking at others, what others are doing, again, this is from just kind of looking around this afternoon, a lot of them were putting first chapters, whole first chapters, and then ending with read the rest in KU, which is a pretty good way of doing it. It's taking the kind of the free book, the philosophy behind that, tempting someone with, I did a tweet on first in series or free kind of incentives to buy more of that thing from people like Wrigley doing it with chewing gum in the 1940s, and it's that principle. It's kind of like, here's a free sample. I'm gonna trust myself as a writer at beyond being just a marketer at this point, and try and get you to be hooked by the time you reach the end of the sample, and then you know that to get the rest you're gonna have to click and then go over to Amazon and download it in KU. Which I probably need to do a little bit of testing to see how if that might work with thrillers as well, because it seems at the moment I'm seeing it a lot in romance.
Yeah, as we all know, romance is the testing ground.
Have you ever had any trouble with your accounts? Like a lot of authors have theirs shut down, and
no, never. I think I've been lucky.
I was going to say, are you holding onto a piece of wood there, Ma? Talisman. It's a tricky one, and I think it is.
Mine are gone now, so ads are not working.
What's that?
For me. My account, yeah.
Right, yeah. No, yeah. I think it's not common, but we do see it more these days than we have done, and there's no real... The problem is with both
romance. Do you think it's a romance thing because they're getting a
it's
bit
probably it's easy to piss them off with images and things, and they think, and it's easy to mistake things for sexual content than for me with someone running around with a suit on running into the distance. That's that's quite hard to mistake. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. it's probably that. It's also the people you hang around with. If your friends are romance writers, and you're going to see, you might feel like that it's more prevalent than it is. But it is, it's definitely a thing.
It's definitely a thing. And I think also it's not necessarily when you send them to, for example, your book link, you know, if, it's not just your book image that AI is reading, it's also the other books on that, you know, where the
on the Amazon page
itself, and so it just
things trigger it, eh?
Yeah.
That's a bit speculative. I'm not convinced about that.
I don't know.
Yeah,
we had Wendy's ads. Basically, it was like putting an image of a nun on the ad, and it still got shut down for sexual content. So it was our theory.
I think my name might have been just like, oh, this woman again, she's out.
I think that's possible. I think accounts will carry kind of historical data in terms of baggage. I think that's very likely. I am not convinced that Facebook's bots are going to go over to Amazon and start analyzing that. They might do. I think there's some evidence they do a bit in terms of the kind of to make sure the reader experience is not quite what they expect, but. You know, I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that.
No, I think you've just got to be sent to Coventry and wait out your time and then start up again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's all you can do, really, isn't it? Or get someone else to run your ads. Yeah.
That's also possible. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're starting up again, just I would have a fresh credit card or a fresh debit card too.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So definitely.
I think if we're going to talk about images then, so are there types of images that you've seen that work best over for Facebook? I remember back in the day, it was like not the professionally beautiful ones, unless.
I think these days, generally speaking, the ones that work best are the ones that look pro. You know, there'll always be exceptions to that, but generally speaking, if you look at the ads the top 20 are running, they're all really nice. Yeah. You know, they're professionally produced. They look good. It used to be the case. One of the stories I told was Diane Capri took the course very early on, and she had a picture of this. She took an iPhone, I think, of like a palm tree. It was rubbish, and it really worked. So you know,
I always remember looking at that, going, "What is that? What? How does that work?"
I know it's crazy.
I think that's actually a really good point to kind of reiterate, though, that things have moved on. The sophistication of the audience, if you like, has moved on. We've all got phones now that can take better pictures than any of us ever had when we got married. You know, there's a better, it's a bigger, you know, better quality photo. And I think as consumers, we've upped our game as well in terms of not consciously, but in terms of what we expect, you know. Do you remember, you know, back in the day, the Instagram filters and everything looked like something from a 1970s corn pick. And now it's, you know, so.
What about the Facebook ads library? Do you use any of those photos? You know how you can do when you're doing ads, you never. Okay.
No. I always work with my designer. I usually, the deal I have with Stuart is I'll say he'll give me the cover, the pack shot, and then he'll give me like a social media bundle of various images that I can use. Because I mean, I can't. One of the we got John, who I work with today, with the kind of the video that we're doing tomorrow for our little expedition, is how to do copy and images. I wouldn't know where to start. You know, I would even struggle to resize an image. I'd rather hand that over to someone who knows what they're doing rather than me bundle around and make a tit of myself.
Okay. And do you test multiple images, or you just take that one image and run with it?
Yeah, you usually will. I mean, so things like dynamic creative in Facebook ads is worth testing now. So you basically, Facebook will do the split testing for you. So you maybe put five copy variations, five images, five headlines, and it will run those at scale and try and find a combination that it thinks works best. We have seen some success with that. So it's trusting the machine, trusting its algorithm is quite sophisticated now. It knows what it's doing. And sometimes it is a question of going, okay, well, I trust you to, you can find the audience for me within these parameters. And then you run a variation of this ad to that audience that works best. And just basically say, you know, take my money, I'll watch the other end. And hopefully we find that those ads are working.
Yeah.
And so dynamic creative is where Facebook pick up the ad they like the best and then drive the sales to that. Is that how they
it will say that? It would say if you've got five images, five headlines and five then it will go like number two, number four and number five, and it puts those together in an ad, and that's the ad it serves. So it's clever.
When you, it's, when you get multiple there, ones, though, and sorry. It tests them out first, yeah. Wendy. So it's not just that it
yeah.
says...
Yeah. Yeah, no, no, I know that. I just was trying to work out. Yeah. But so if you get the ad that works the best, do you then duplicate it and then start again?
No, I'd probably let that run. So that dynamic creative is, so there's testing, split testing that you do manually, and then there's dynamic creative. So it's kind of the same, but what it will do is if you're trusting it to do it for you, it will pick the winner. And then the idea is you step back and let it just run that ad, and it shouldn't run the variations, or not much. It'll do what it thinks is best.
Then you wouldn't look at that and go, okay, that's obviously the best creative, and then make another ad that's exactly
probably not. You can get some interesting ideas, but it's unfortunately it isn't as easy as just going, okay, that worked in this particular test, but it may not work in another test, because some things are changing. So maybe the audience is changing. Even if you have, if you've got two lookalikes, or one lookalike, it may be a slightly different, going to different parts of the audience. So I think I do a bit of both. I'll do some dynamic creative, and I'll do some that I'm testing myself, and then run those, kind of perhaps run them in tandem.
Couple of years ago, video was, everybody was talking about video ads and video everything. Is that still the case?
No, I think for Facebook, I think images are still the best, which is great because that's the easiest for us. But then you only need to, video is very, very popular. TikTok is definitely a thing now. I was fairly slow to come to that. And but I've seen, 50, 60, 70 authors doing like exceptionally well now because they've mastered TikTok. I think if you like video, then I would take your video to TikTok, do it there. If that's not your bag, or you don't have time for it, then I'd stay on Facebook and Amazon, but probably, ideally everything, but we can't do everything.
So if you really want to just increase, do you think that is the platform still to promote and to grow your sales on?
Is that Facebook, do you say?
Yeah. I mean, Facebook ads.
Yeah.
As opposed to Amazon ads and any other ads, do you still think Facebook is the one?
No, I don't. I think it does. I don't think there is a kind of a one size fits all answer. And for me at the moment, it's probably 70-30 Amazon, Facebook. But there will be times where it goes the other way. It just depends on, it depends on lots of different things. But I'm always running ads on both of those platforms. Just the amount of spend that I channel one way or the other can depend on circumstances.
Yeah.
The thing that always confused me about doing that, like when you're doing Amazon ads and Facebook ads, was the attribution over which of the platforms was actually causing the sales. How do you do that?
Well, Facebook, you can, there are a couple of teachers who I don't have much time for, who'll tell you that the only way that you can gauge whether it's working or not is to look at your dashboard. But that's hopeless because it doesn't take into account any of the other things that you're doing. So it doesn't take into account kind of organic read through. It doesn't take into account people who just come across you, coming from your mailing list, your social, organic social. It's really unsophisticated and I think a bit dangerous. It's easy to lose money that way. So it is possible. It's quite easy to look at the traffic that you're sending to your Amazon page and work out what sales are being caught by each. So I have a massive spreadsheet that I do maybe once a week now. And one of the tabs is Facebook ads. And it would look at the various countries I'm running the ads in. And one of the tabs is Amazon ads. And Amazon will report sales on Amazon, obviously in the Amazon ads dashboard, which, contrary to what some people tell you can trust it. It is, there's a 14-day attribution window. So If I make a sale on Wednesday, I'll probably need to check it again 2 weeks ahead to make sure that it hasn't carried more sales. Because if you see my ad on Wednesday and you don't buy it till Friday, but you did click on the ad, that will be attributed to the ad, which it should be, because that was what caused the sale. Amazon can, will tell you and can be trusted. Facebook, if you use an Amazon attribution link, will also tell you, and that also can be trusted. For me, that's the way I do it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. That's good to know.
Do you still do all your own ads? Mark?
Yeah, I do. I do. I wish I didn't have to, but I do. I do. We have someone for SPF. So, I mean, SPF is we advertise really heavily. I mean, multiple thousands every month. We have someone called Arnas, in a Lithuanian guy who we've worked with for about 5 years. So he does all of the Facebook ads for SPF. He's really good. But for everything else, no, for my books, it's just me. And you know, people often say to me, I wish I could, is there an agency that you would recommend? And there is no one I would recommend.
Yep.
And it's not because there are dishonest people who just take your money, definitely. But there are honest people who will do their best. But the problem is, if they're running a business, your books will be just kind of units that they need to sell on a big spreadsheet, lots of different authors, maybe, you know, 20, 30 authors, each of 20 or 30 books. They can't possibly understand that series like you do. And they can't, mm-hmm. and they're not invested in sales like you are, because they're making maybe $1,000 a month by way of a fee. Whereas, you know, so it's not that important that they get consistent sales.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's painful sometimes because you've got to learn, but you've got to do it yourself. Yeah, I think.
Totally agree.
Mm, it is tough for some people that just don't, it just, their brains don't work that way, you know, and
yeah,
hello, I'm one of them, but you know, it is tough because there is a lot to do.
There is, but it's the way I look at it is this, right? Pick what you don't need to do it all.
Mm.
It's not possible. So I don't do it all. This just isn't enough time. And even if it looks really daunting, like Facebook for the first time is like, can I swear on your podcast? I don't know what you're.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so holy fuck! Right? It looks so big and so confusing and so daunting that it's kind of like, you know, I'm not doing this. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to do some writing. Kind of what I love doing. But the way I would address it and the way I tell people, our course is like 30 hours long now for Facebook. It's like, how do you eat a whale? Right? It's one bite at a time.
Yeah.
So and there's no, you know, there's no race. You don't. It's not becoming. If you wait a year to master it, it's not going to become Facebook. It's not going to stop working. You know, you're ready when you're ready.
I was just going to say too, Mark, one thing my kind of gut feel is I've been running ads for author friends for a number of years, and the machine learning or the AI is getting so much better with Amazon and with Facebook in terms of the automatic side of it. So it actually...
Yes,
Conversely, it is more complicated looking, but actually, you know, you can actually set up an automatic Amazon ad and it actually gets to people that should be getting it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, some of my best ads on Amazon are auto ads. It's one of those things. Amazon has the data. I mean, weirdly, I've worked with AMG before, so that's the kind of the you pay them a lot of money per month. It was $40,000 a month when I did it. I know it's ridiculous. It's a huge amount of money. I think it's 50,000 now. They give you then more time. Well, they will do it for you. But then you kind of, they'll peel the veil back a bit and you can see just how much data they've got. And you can start to, you know, send ads to people, for example, who it knows bought a thriller within the last 2 months, and within that 2 months they bought another one, they put it in their basket but they didn't check out. So you know, that kind of really granular detail, which we can't see when we do the self-serve rather than their kind of white glove service, but that's there, and that's all that's just what I've seen. I mean, it's probably the tip of the iceberg, you know. I imagine that but we know there's a reason Amazon is as big as it is, because Amazon knows what we want.
So
sometimes before we even know we want it ourselves, there it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
it knows that we put that book in the basket and we didn't
Which is a bit scary, right?
Does Amazon Edge work for you if you're not in KU? Is it better in KU or is it?
It's definitely better because you're effectively getting two bites at the cherry. But yeah, they do work absolutely. You need to. For me, it's a little tricky because I still run my ads as a vendor, so I don't do my ads through the KDP platform. I was one of the authors who managed to sneak in before they closed the loophole. So there's pluses and minuses to that. Pluses, I get some options that other authors don't get. Negatives are KU reads are invisible. So I kind of have to guess a little bit as to how that is working for that. So if you're going through the KDP portal, a couple of years ago, they added the KEMPC data, so you could start to work that out. If obviously it's the same principle. If you're running ads to Amazon, there's a very, very big market who are in KU who will probably only buy or only borrow KU books most of the time.
Yeah. As an author, you often get emails from people saying, is that book going to be in KU? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Frustrating.
It is frustrating, you know, but for me, I'm used to it now. And I mean, KU is probably 40% of my market now. Yeah. And you know, if you're in romance, it might even be 60-40 in favor of KU. And I've seen higher than that. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
So
I think we've asked all our questions just about, haven't we?
Almost. I've always got more, Wendy.
We have pretty, but you know.
So is there if you're thinking of all the different types of Facebook ads that you can run in terms of like to gather mailing list or to, is there one that's better to be doing than others? Or if you're just starting out, where would you start maybe?
I would probably be looking to build my audience with kind of to build my mailing list. I think that's really important. And also depends on how many books you've got. I mean, if you've got, we have been able to run ads to one book and make a profit on that. James has done that with his first in series when he just had one. So he's making a small profit and building his audience effectively and getting paid a little bit to do that, which is great. But if you're going to be running ads a higher volume, then I would say wait until you've got two or three books, because you know then read through becomes relevant. And that makes it a lot easier to make the ads profitable. But you know, one of the things that we're doing this challenge at the moment, and getting comments just today from authors seeing the first couple of videos and saying I'm not finished yet, should I be running ads? And obviously you can't run an ad to sell a book that doesn't exist, but what you can do is to start investing at a small level and start to build an audience. So when the book is ready to release, then you're not just kind of chucking it out into the void and crossing your fingers. Yeah. You have an audience that, you know, if you've been targeting your ads correctly, like the kinds of books that you're writing. Mm-hmm. I think that strategy is something that you can just effectively put on autopilot and just let it run over time. Keep building the list.
Yeah. Okay.
So do you leave ads just running indefinitely? Have you ever done that?
Often, yeah. I mean, the one of the ads I'm running at the moment, I'm doing because of my Atticus series is based in Salisbury where I am. And I've got an ad that runs to people in Salisbury and 25 miles around, because very like a hyper local ad. And I've been running that at $10 a day for about 6 months. Wow. So it's chalked up a decent-ish spend, maybe, you know, maybe $3,000 or $4,000, but it is working, you know, and I'm happy to just kind of let that chug away until it doesn't work anymore.
Mm. Wow. That reminds me. Sorry, I'm going back, and I'm just because I want to put in. So you're doing $10 a day on an ad. Do you when you want to put up the budget, you go, oh, this ad is doing really well. Do you just amp up the budget on that ad?
No,
create a new ad.
You have to. That's quite technical. Okay. So, what?
Sorry.
Well, I as a rule of thumb, I can give kind of a quick rule of thumb. I would say if you've got an ad that's working, I would increase it about 20% every other day. So just gradually increase it. It's possible to throw an ad back into the learning phase. If you up the spend too quickly and get too greedy, it can screw it up. So I'd do that, and also you can duplicate the ad and start another ad at a low level and then just do the same with that one. Okay. And eventually, obviously, you know, if you're compounding over time, that can get to a decent spend quite quickly.
Mm. And if you're spending $10 a day on that particular ad, for example, does that mean you have lots and lots of ads? You're not like running three ads, you're running
$10 a day on that one ad. Yes. I mean, I there have been days I've spent $500 to $1,000 a day on Facebook ads, not for a little while, but I have done. Amazon at the moment is that's probably where most of the budget is going, but it can definitely switch around. But it's always just look at the ads library. It's always a good idea. I mean, you know, actually got someone the other day, I saw one of the forums, I don't mention anymore because it's the cesspit of negativity and unpleasantness. They were like, well, Mark's selling his course again. I looked on the ads manager, he's only running 2 ads. Like, well, yes, I am. But what you don't know is that at the moment, for strategic reasons, I'm running more on Amazon. But if you look in another month, I'll probably be running many more on Facebook. So, you know.
People just love to moan, though, Mark, right?
People love they to do. Moan.
They do.
I mean, so, you could serve everything up gold-plated to them and they'd still want it in silver, you know? Like, I mean, it's just the way they go.
It's just life, isn't it? But, you know, so. Yeah,
it is.
Generally, people are generally not like that, but there's always a few.
Always a few.
One last question before I let you go, you know, on with your.
She'll just keep hammering you. We'll just shut her down. I can ask
questions all night.
She's the one. We just can't stop her.
The story that is going around now is that you can't make it as an author or a self-published author without ads these days. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, unfortunately I do. Yeah. I think when I started I've been doing this for 10 years now, and when I started you probably couldn't advertise because there were very few venues that would work for us. It then got to a stage where you didn't have to advertise, but it was a quite good idea because it was easy and the money, you could make a lot of money quite quickly. But over the last 5 years or so, as you know, the books in the Kindle store have gone up. There's, I think, 11 million now, something like that. And authors are savvier. They've taken courses by idiots who make courses for other authors, you know, and make it
difficult. Listen
to podcasts. Yeah. Exactly. It's so much easier to learn now than when I started.
Yeah.
I think because of all those reasons, it's not impossible that you kind of get lucky and get a lightning strike, but I can't really remember the last one. Andy Weir maybe for The Martian. There's probably been a few then I just haven't noticed, but it's very difficult and I don't think you can leave it to luck anymore. But I mean, on the other hand, the flip side is there are lots and lots of ways to get the word out now that weren't available before, from BookBub ads to Amazon ads, that TikTok. You know, when I started to TikTok, and things are always changing, and things like, you know, we haven't even, and probably don't have time now to talk about things like AI and ChatGPT and stuff like that. They're really, I'm finding them quite useful for some things that, you know, we're just kind of space age and, you know, when I started.
Absolutely.
I'm glass half full most of the time. So I kind of look at it as like, okay, these are opportunities that I didn't have available to me before that I can take advantage of now. Mm. But on the other hand, did I start at the right time? Probably. It was easier in those days. So I've had a bit of a head start, but, you know, you can still come from nowhere and do really well really quickly. We see it all the time.
Yeah, but still starting out and doing really well. We have them on the podcast. It's not too late ever.
Basically, yeah, we had
a good product.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do every year around about this time. Actually, we have what we call the foundation. So we give out all of our courses and quite a lot of money, $60,000 or $70,000, to people who've applied because they need a little bit of help. They've written good books, but they don't have the budget or the savvy to kind of get it out there. And we've had a couple of authors go from like Elle Thorpe was one of ours, and she was she's nearly lost her house. She was like very, very close to having the mortgage foreclosed on her. She's $60,000 a month now, you know, and that's in 18 months maybe, which is kind of ridiculous, but that is definitely possible.
That's right. So tell us about the course and what you've got, what you're offering.
So we have lots of courses with SPF. When's this going out, do you know?
2 weeks.
When's 2 weeks? Okay, so you'll just be within the, well, you actually be right in the middle of the launch period for Ads for Authors. So we do it twice a year. So it's our main course with Facebook, Amazon, BookBub, TikTok, and quite a lot of other ancillary content, you know, copywriting, image design, all that kind of stuff. That's our main course. That's will be it. If you go to selfpublishingformula.com, you'll find links to that. We also have we used to call it 101, which we've now changed it to Launchpad. So it's our kind of introductory to intermediate course on self-publishing. And that will be available later in the year. And we've got some other courses that are available all the time. Plus, you know, the podcast, obviously not as good as yours, but you know,
I feel like yours and ours are probably the longest ones, along with Joanna, to be honest with you.
Joanna makes us all look young. Yeah. She's been doing it for such
Joanna
a long time.
Never ages either, though. So, you know, she's got a Benjamin Button thing going on.
There's a picture in her attic, actually. I've seen it. we do it. Our podcast goes out on Fridays. But, yeah, there's loads. There's loads. You know, people might not want to listen to two middle-aged English blokes, you know, waffling on about nothing. And would rather find someone else. There's so many good ones now.
A4 New Zealand women talking about nothing.
But getting back to the course is well worth your time. It's great. Yeah. But it's the resources in there. There's so many things in there. You know, the Amazon ads is, it's a great resource.
Yes, it's not just Facebook, it's everything.
Yeah.
No, it's bigger. One of the things we try very hard to do to differentiate ourselves from other people is to make sure it's always kept up to date. So and that can be a real pain in the ass when Facebook changes something radical and we have to re-record everything.
Which they do, like Amazon.
They haven't for a while, so that's probably, I should really touch on that because we launch in a week.
You just put that out there, Mark.
I know. Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg, somebody's like, aha.
This little AI bots just heard you.
He's much too smug. He needs to be brought down a peg.
Awesome.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for giving up your time to us today. That's been really cool. We've appreciated all the answers that you've given and your candor. If someone wants to go find, I think you've already given the website address, haven't you? Yeah, so you don't need to. Is there any other places to look for Mark Dawson? Is there
all the places?
I'm easy to find. If it's books, then it's markjdawson.com. But it's just Google me. Don't go to Wikipedia because that page is wrong. Right? So there's people, all kinds of things on there that's not actually. But my dad, actually, there's someone, an old work colleague, changed it. And I've never figured out how to change it back.
Okay. So
you guys might not know. It's a very English thing. There's a show in the 80s called, maybe the 70s actually, called Duty Free, a comedy show with an actor called Keith Barron. And it's Keith Barron is my dad, apparently. People still say to me, I can't believe your dad was Keith Barron. I'm like,
that's so funny.
Brilliant.
Oh. We don't have anything like that. Good story. So just come and find us at spargirlspodcast.com.
And thanks to all of our Patreons.
And thank you. Yes. And if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/spargirlspodcast.
Awesome. So that's another episode of the Spa Girls podcast wrapped up for another week. Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate every single one of you. And for now, we will say goodbye, but we'll see you again next week.
Bye. Bye. Thank you, Mac.
Bye.